Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve.
It's good to be back with you.
Yes, here we are a couple of days before Christmas.
I know, the hustle and bustle.
Yeah, so we want to wish everybody a big Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace Ministries.
Ditto.
The entire staff wishes you all a Merry Christmas.
Yes, the entire staff.
Which is basically
all two of
Stephen
us.
And I.
But nonetheless.
But we have plans for growth.
Exponentially.
No, we hope that you've been enjoying this series of shows that are actually Advent shows, because Christmas doesn't actually start until the night of the 24th.
It doesn't?
No. So while all of you have been going around thinking the 25th like wraps up the Christmas season.
That's it. He's born. Let's get back to normal.
And that's why, you know, the song 12 Days of Christmas started, because it actually goes to January 6th, which is the Epiphany.
Exactly.
We'll have probably more about that later. But since this is still technically Advent today, we're going to do sort of a pre-Christmas end of Advent show.
We can still talk more about Advent stuff?
We can.
Wow.
Because my favorite prophet, Isaiah.
Major prophet.
Major prophet, who, you know, when he was writing, made everything just perfect for celebrating the Advent season. Although he didn't realize he was going to be Advent readings at the time he was writing them. But I'm sure he's happy about it now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's happy about everything now.
Getting a lot of royalties.
Yeah. He's happy about everything now. And we've been through the last few shows with a lot of messianic prophecies from Isaiah, and a lot of prophecies indicating that the Gentiles, like us, were going to be included in the messianic kingdom, which I think is pretty good news.
It's really good news for us.
Good news. Yeah. I think it's great news. And so today we're going to cover, there are many more messianic prophecies than this, but this one is worth doing. And we're going to have Stephen read from Isaiah chapter 7. So we'll give you a second to open your Bible and get to Isaiah chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 10 to 14. Okay. I shouldn't say open your Bible, but get your iPad or your phone or your laptop or whatever, wherever your Bible is now.
There's probably still some paper Bibles left.
Yeah, if you have like a book Bible, that's cool. So Steve, why don't you read Isaiah 7, 10 to 14.
Okay. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel."
Ooh, that's awesome. So this is a very famous prophecy. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son. Now, when you're looking at this, God is not speaking directly to Ahaz. He's speaking to him through Isaiah. God is speaking through Isaiah the prophet. So King Ahaz is the king of Judah, and he was a bad king. I mean, he was kind of a creep. He was, in fact, a creep. If you read through the books of Kings and Chronicles, you know, you get this whole list of so-and-so was king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And once in a while, so-and-so was king, and he was nice. But a lot of them were not very nice, and Ahaz was one that wasn't very nice. Now, you see in that passage there that it mentions the house of David. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago and last week, where this is the line of Messiah. This is the house of David. It's the throne of David. And Ahaz is the descendant of that. So he is the monarch. He's the king at this time.
Right.
And he doesn't want to ask for a sign. And he actually is kind of rude. He says, "No, I don't want to ask for a sign." Then he tries to cover it up by being piety, like by being pious. Well, I don't want to tempt the Lord. But you can see in his tone that he isn't very nice. So, you know, Isaiah, speaking for God, says, oh, you know, you're wearying me with this thing. So this bad king was wearying men because he had bad rule, and now he's also wearying God with his rude comments.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't really want to be made weary by us.
No.
And, you know, the king talking back and being rude to the prophet, it's the same thing as him talking that way to God, because God is speaking through the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice Isaiah, he's happy to call God, quote, my God, unquote, as opposed to
right.
Ahaz. So he says, well, if you don't want to give me a sign, you don't want to ask for a sign, fine. I'm going to give you a sign. Okay, you don't want a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. So in other words, this is a sign that comes from God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty remarkable sign. You know, Ahaz, as David's descendant, and there weren't too many generations between David and Ahaz, he knew about the promises to David, or should have known, would have known, probably did know about building the house and building the throne. And this is in 2 Samuel. We went through that last week. So if you go to the website, givethroughgraceministries.org, you can listen to that show. But this is now another prophecy that's going to have to do with Messiah coming through the line of David. And it's an extraordinary one mm-hmm. that says a virgin is going to be with child. Now, this is a little bit odd for someone to hear a prophecy like this, because I don't think this has happened before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people then would have been very puzzled by this.
Right.
But as we always say, this really goes back to Genesis 3:15, where God says he's going to put enmity between the serpent's seed and the mm-hmm. woman's seed.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to fix this problem now that Adam and Eve have created.
Mm-hmm.
And buried in that, and you can go back and read it. We don't have time to go through the whole Genesis thing again, but in Genesis 3:15, you see this idea that Messiah is not going to have a human father.
Right.
Because it's going to come from the seed of the woman.
Right.
And the word there actually is seed, which is a much better word than offspring in this case, because offspring can mean, you know, man or woman, it's kind of generic, but this is about the seed. So even back in Genesis, there's a prophecy that Messiah would not have a human father. Now, Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah, says, I'm going to give you a sign that's going to blow your mind. Although he didn't say it exactly that way. And the sign, he said it in Hebrew, but the sign was that the virgin was going to be with child.
Right, right. And, you know, within the reading there, you were talking about how Ahaz was wearying God. At that time, there were it was a sign. Isaiah was trying to give Ahaz a sign, or seeks to reassure him that he need not fear the invading armies of Syria
right.
and Israel mm-hmm. in light of God's armies, and that in light of God's promise to David, I should say,
mm-hmm.
and that Ahaz was really dependent upon the might of Assyria rather than on trusting in the yes, God of Israel.
Exactly. That's the historical context.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with that there, that, you know, when Isaiah says, ask for a sign from the Lord, let it be as deep as the netherworld or as high as the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be an extraordinary, something really big, really, you know, unthinkable.
Yeah.
And this is what Isaiah prophesies to him.
Mm-hmm.
The virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Extraordinary prophecy. Mm-hmm. Not an everyday occurrence.
Right.
And, it, you know, it's interesting, too, that when, as we always talk about on our show, how the plan of salvation unfolds through the scriptures, through the Torah, through the prophets, Isaiah now, and this prophecy adds a piece to that plan, which is mind-boggling compared to every other thing that's mentioned there. which is that Messiah is going to be God-man. He's not going to have a human father.
Mm-hmm.
And the two natures are going to be in the same being without confusion or mixing. Both natures are going to be in Jesus of Nazareth, who's Mary's son as the physical Jesus of Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
and is the divine son as the ever-existent second person of the Trinity. And what this prophecy does is it's going to show that this person, divine person, is going to be coming through the womb of a virgin with no contribution from a human father.
Right.
This is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, not conceived normally. This is not the normal progression of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because of the human nature, which we also emphasize a lot on our show, he's born of a woman, born under the law. He's raised normally, like a human being is raised.
Mm-hmm.
In Hebrews 2:17, you know, it says, in all things he's made like his brethren. Paul writes, he's like us in all things but sin.
Right.
And, you know, he grows up as a baby, as a boy, as a teenager, as a man. And it says, you know, in the scripture too, that he grows in wisdom and stature. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he's growing up. So people would have come to Mary and Joseph's house to visit, and they would have said, wow, Yeshua's really getting big.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot bigger than when we were here 6 months ago, because he was growing up as a boy, just like every other boy in the town.
Right.
Which is really quite remarkable.
Well, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, we can tend to forget that Jesus was human and that he grew up as an infant.
Mm-hmm.
He was dependent upon his mother and father to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They had to feed him.
Yep.
Because an infant can't feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just think about that for a moment, that the God of the universe, his son would come in the form of an infant to be born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those, you know, who were subjected to the law. But he was so dependent upon a human being.
Yes.
For his own survival.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that, you know, God was just going to miraculously feed him every day, like if Mary and Joseph didn't. So it really emphasizes the human nature, the fully human nature that Jesus has, and that he can sympathize with all of our weaknesses, because
mm-hmm. yes.
he himself grew up the same way that we did.
Uh-huh.
You know, from a child into adulthood. And it always amazes me, like when we talk about the, you know, during the Advent and Christmas season, we would talk about these infancy or the narratives, and you think about his infancy as the birth of a child,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just what does it take to raise a child?
Yeah.
To keep them alive, so that they grow and you nurture them and you help them grow and become strong. So it's just amazing that God entrusted this, our salvation, to Joseph and Mary,
mm-hmm.
really to,
yes.
Hey, this is the salvation of Israel.
Yes.
He is the salvation of Israel. He's in your hands.
That's right.
It's a big responsibility.
Yeah. And human Jesus of Nazareth
right.
would have developed in Mary's womb just like a baby develops.
Right.
Was born just like a baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see these really pretty Christmas pictures,
mm-hmm.
but Mary would have had labor pains. It would have been painful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't go to Bethlehem General Hospital and have an obstetrician do the delivery.
No.
I mean, it was really quite an amazing thing. And we talked many times about the prophecy that's way back in Genesis about the scepter does not depart from Judah. You know, here's this baby born in the line of David to this pretty insignificant couple. I mean, nobody, you know, Mary and Joseph weren't like really well known throughout the country, and nobody really knew who they were. And they were both in David's line, as Matthew and Luke both tell us. But in the house of David, the throne of David's been established. God promised David that from his loins would come the one that was going to shepherd Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are with this young woman, probably teenage girl, that is totally unknown, has no particular skills or education or anything that we would say, wow, that's really remarkable,
mm-hmm.
who gives birth to the Messiah, you know, the God-man, who was in her womb and then delivered like a baby is delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this prophecy of the virgin shall conceive and bear a son just really kind of wraps up the whole thing as this plan of salvation unfolds as to who the Redeemer is going to be and how is he going to get here.
Mm-hmm.
We could have had a Redeemer that just showed up. I mean, Jesus, divine Jesus.
Yeah.
Could have made a human manifestation. It wouldn't have been too much work for him. He could have manifested a body and come at age 30 and started his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Could have told people he was just from another land and here he was.
Like Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Appeared on the scene.
That wasn't the plan.
No.
And that's really cool that he goes through the whole human experience. And I love when you added the other line from Hebrews is we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, that's really an important part of us being a believer in the Lord, mm-hmm. us being, you know, if we say that we believe in the Lord, it shouldn't mean that we believe about him.
Yes.
But we trust in him.
Yes.
I believe in him to deliver me from all my foes.
Right.
From, you know, everything that I'm struggling with and that I'm going to receive salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we profess the creed, I believe mm-hmm. in one God. What
right.
does it mean to believe in someone?
Mm-hmm. It's not just book knowledge.
Right. Oh, I believe because I read about him and yeah. my teachers told me about him.
Yeah.
Well, do I trust him with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it amazing that as we were talking about this, God trusted the life of his son to Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
So God entrusts his own son to a human being,
yeah.
to two human beings.
Yeah.
Do
Remarkable.
We in, right? Do we in turn, as a covenant, do we in turn trust our lives
mm-hmm.
to God?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very good
question.
And what about this Emmanuel thing? You know, his name wasn't Emmanuel; his name was Yeshua.
Yeah.
But this Emmanuel thing is another prophetic, prophecy. No, that's redundant. Another prophetic utterance.
Another prophetic prophecy.
I mean, it means God with us. It means God is living among us.
Mm-hmm.
God is sharing our life with us. We have both natures in the Messiah. He's living in our humanity. John chapter 1 says, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm.
I mean, it's remarkable. That what that actually means in the Greek is that he pitched his tent with us. You know, the word tabernacle actually means tent.
Mm-hmm.
And so Messiah comes and pitches his tent with us.
Yeah.
You know, in today's terms, we'd say, you know, he moved into the house next door.
Right.
You know,
he built a house.
Messiah's living next door.
He's in our neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. He's living in our neighborhood now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's tabernacling with us. So it's a total sharing of our whole existence. He's experiencing all of our existence.
Right.
In a very real way. And we talked a couple of shows ago about the line from Colossians where, you know, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So in this Jesus of Nazareth, in this case, baby Jesus, then later grown-up Jesus, then later full-grown-up Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus of Nazareth, even though you see him as a man.
Right.
And this comes, again, from the prophet, the promise that was made to David and the promise that was made to Abraham
mm-hmm.
about his seed was going to bless all the nations of the earth.
Oh.
Is this Roni Roni?
This is Roni Roni.
I gotta go get my banner. We'll be back in just a minute. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Let's dance.
Shout aloud, it's my honor. listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wow. Okay, good. Now.
I'm out of breath.
As soon as I catch my breath, we'll go on to the next thing. Okay, so I think that might have been our last Isaiah prophecy for the season.
I know. Wow. But you know, that song, Roni Roni, really embodies the whole rejoice that that the Messiah has come to take all your punishment.
Yes.
So rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion. You know, so that really embodies the whole coming of the Messiah.
That's right. And the daughter of Zion is yet to completely rejoice. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon they will.
Yeah.
But, hey, the Gentiles are rejoicing. That's good for now. I hope you Gentiles out there are rejoicing.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon the daughter of Zion, the covenant people, are also going to be rejoicing in Messiah. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be awesome.
Exactly.
Woo. So all then, right. You know, Paul in the book of Romans, did I ever tell you that I really like the book of Romans?
I don't think you've mentioned that to me before.
Maybe it's my favorite book. I don't know. Hebrews, I can't decide.
We better move on.
Okay. Do you want to read Romans chapter 1:1-7?
So this is your favorite book?
I think so.
Okay. So Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his son, descended from David, according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ooh. Wow.
Now I see why it's your favorite book.
Yeah, see, this really sums up everything we've been talking about. Because Paul says, the gospel's been promised through the whole time up to then. Through the Torah, through the prophets, through all of the Old Testament. And he says, this was all about his son, capital S, who's descended from David in the flesh. So he's going back to 2 Samuel when God makes the promise to David about building a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house.
Right.
So I don't want your dopey house. I'm going to build you a house. And the son, capital S, is going to be descended in the flesh, but he's established as the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. So both natures, and now this comes together in the word Emmanuel, God with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that the God-man pitches his tent, moves in next door, hangs around, you know, goes with his disciples to have breakfast at Denny's, goes someplace for dinner, goes to somebody's house, comes in the middle of the town square to do a teaching. That the fullness of the Godhead in the God-man actually dwells among us now. And this has been promised through the whole Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then he adds, hey, it's also about the Gentiles. Because for the sake of his name, capital N, and that's a very important word. Name with a capital N is a very important word. It's his name. It's Hashem.
Yes.
It's his name. For the sake of his name, the Gentiles are going to come too. And in this plan of salvation, this kingdom under the throne of David is also now open to Gentiles. It's open to the nations. It's open to the non-covenant people. Mm. It's open to the unclean people who didn't have a clue how unclean they were, but they were pretty unclean. Then again, the promise to Abraham, which is repeated to Isaac, which is repeated to Jacob, the three patriarchs, that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wraps that all up.
Yeah.
Did I mention this was one of my favorite books? It is my favorite
book. I think you did. I think you mentioned that.
So
that
first chapter is awesome.
Well, yeah, as you're saying all that, kind of what comes to mind is that as a family of believers in Yeshua, in Jesus Christ, you know, the sign of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament was circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission, he said, go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So our baptism into the Lord is a sign of the new covenant.
Yes.
That we die with Christ in baptism and rise again with him. And in that, the body of believers is established. You know, it's our baptism into the Lord that makes us one with him, mm-hmm. and one with each other.
Yeah.
So it's in our culture today, I think we kind of get into, different denominations, different churches and all this other stuff about mm-hmm. what makes us a believer and a follower of Messiah, and what unites us.
Right.
And we forget about the common element of the sign of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
We're covered in the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the doorposts were covered in
mm-hmm.
the Israelites, their doorposts were covered in the blood of the Lamb, and they did not experience the death of the Passover. And we too, as believers in Yeshua, will not experience death because mm-hmm. we're covered in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, we're not subject to the curse.
Right, it's vitally important.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that we live our life anyway. Yeah. It means that we strive to follow him. We strive eagerly to enter through that narrow gate.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news that comes to us through Emmanuel is that God dwells with us
mm-hmm.
and he's here and he forgives us our sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he pitches a tent in our neighborhood.
And everybody goes, hey, who built that nice tent?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really nice tent. Yeah. We don't have a tent like that.
Yeah. And you know, all these things you're saying are also explained by Paul in the book of Romans, which happens to be my favorite book. Talks about how we're not under the curse anymore. There's no condemnation in us. And I mean, can we do Romans instead of the rest? No, we already did
come
Romans.
On.
Yeah. So this is amazing. And we as believers living in the year 2013, you know, we don't really get the full impact of what it means when it says, the Gentiles are going to be included. The nations are going to be included.
No, we
don't get that because that's like, okay, yeah, so.
We really have to put ourselves in the place of being outcast.
Yes.
Because that's really what the Gentiles were.
Mm-hmm.
They were outcast from the nation of Israel.
Yep.
I mean, the nation of Israel was to be a light to the nations. And think about it. You're excluded from the whole community of believers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go to a church on a Sunday. And everybody shuns you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you feel like? You know, mm-hmm. you're an outcast.
I'm used to that.
No, no. Oh, jeez.
No, just kidding.
Well,
nobody likes me.
The good news is that Yeshua's come to set you free.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if we, you're right. We do miss that whole aspect of being being outcast from or just not even included in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because once Jesus comes and we receive the gift of the Spirit, we're baptized, we receive that promise of eternal life. We receive the riches of the kingdom because we're adopted sons and daughters mm-hmm. through Christ.
Yes.
And now God wants to share the riches of his kingdom with us.
That's in Romans too.
Yeah. I think Romans must be my favorite book too.
See, now you're talking.
There we go.
But anyway, let's move a little bit back in time to Matthew, a little bit back from Romans. let's go back to Matthew, whose real name was Levi. I don't mm-hmm. think he was a Levite though, but his name was Levi.
It was Levi.
Yeah. Yeah, Matthew chapter 1 there. How about reading 18 through 24?
Okay.
This kind of ties it up too.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Mm. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home.
Mm. Wow. So now, here we go.
Now, Matthew, that doesn't happen every day.
Right. Now, Matthew, the writer here, goes back to quote our friend Isaiah, you know, quotes his prophecy word by word.
Right.
He doesn't say, oh, remember when Isaiah said, quotes it word for word. So he has this dream, and the angel of the Lord talks to him in his dream. And notice he calls him son of David. Joseph, son of David. Okay, now this is, again, important. This confirms the lineage. Mm-hmm. Not that Jesus, not that Joseph is Jesus's father, but he's in Joseph's household.
Right.
And Mary also is in the line of David. So everything's consistent, but this confirms that the lineage of David is going. Because the angel says, Joseph, son of David. That's pretty cool. Now, Joseph's father wasn't named David, but he's hearkening this back to King David to emphasize that now we're to the point where Messiah, a son of David, is going to come on the scene. So he again confirms that Messiah is from the seed of David, 2 Samuel, where God says, from your loins is going to come this one.
Right.
I mean, this is not going to be some other thing from somewhere, or this isn't going to be a manifestation of some cosmic being. This is going to be your child.
Right.
This is going to be this is going to be a flesh and blood human being that's related to you. And he adds here, the angel adds, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now that was kind of I mean, Joseph
didn't
understand the Holy Spirit like we understand him.
Right.
This is kind of a tough thing to say to this guy.
Yeah.
In other words, Joseph, this is not your son. Well, I mean, of course, he already knew that.
Right.
But this is not your son. This is a divine son.
Yeah.
This is his divine nature. Mm. And then he refers back to the prophecy. Because, you know, Joseph probably learned this. They probably read it in the synagogue when he was growing up. Mm-hmm. He was familiar with this verse. But then the angel says, hey, remember the prophecy that Isaiah had, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son? Well, this is what's happening here. This is not a natural conception. There's not some other human being who's the father, because after all, this is what Joseph's worried about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never hear anything Joseph says in the scriptures, but
right.
Here you are engaged. I mean, a betrothal was more than an engagement.
Right.
A little bit less than a marriage, but it was not like a casual thing.
Right.
They weren't just dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were,
right.
And you know, when the woman you're betrothed to tells you that she's with child, and you know that it's not your child, you know, that sets up a horrendous emotional upset that, I mean, we can only imagine how Joseph would have reacted.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how pious he was and no matter how God-fearing and respectful he was, I'm sure he had some emotional response to that.
Yeah, probably had a few questions like,
yes.
You know, I mean, you have to think in a normal human terms.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, Mary and Joseph sometimes are elevated into this holy family, and certainly Jesus is holy.
Sure.
But they're human beings and they would have the same questions, struggles, and doubts.
Yes.
Even like John the Baptist like we talked about last week, you know, he asked, are you the one, or should we look for another? He doubted.
He had doubts,
He was the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan, and God told him, the one who comes, and the dove, and when you baptize, and the Holy Spirit descends upon and remains, he's the one.
Yes.
And even after seeing that, John doubts, but he stood, you know, we talked about, we wanted to tie this back in with, last week we talked about the reed being swayed in the wind, and John the Baptist was that reed that wasn't swayed by the wind, you know?
Yeah.
And he had to remain firm to the word and the message that God gave him. And really, Joseph and Mary, in receiving these prophecies and this, you know, this mission, if you will, had to remain faithful to God's word and to trust that all this was going to take place. I mean, an angel comes to you in a dream and says, the woman that you're betrothed to, she's with child, not yours, but it's by the Holy Spirit.
Right. The angel reassures
what
him.
What would you think?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the angel reassures Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, you know, God kind of working everything out.
Right.
Because, you know, Joseph has to be taken care of too, because he's a very important character in this whole play,
because
in this whole drama.
Right, because without a husband in that culture, in that time, the woman is, you know,
that's
prostitute.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, many people in our times have been raised with, well, men aren't important, women can do just a fine job of it. But, you know, the role of the man in the house at this point, is important even for Joseph, because even though Jesus is divine and human, he's growing up in a house where his male foster father has an influence on him.
Right.
And provides for his mother, Mary, and provides for him by doing work. I mean, this is really quite remarkable. So it's basically the type of human family that God ordained being played out with Messiah as part of it.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, so Joseph's being reassured by the angel, okay, don't worry about this. You know, Mary wasn't with anybody else. She hasn't been running around. She hasn't been partying while you've been, you know, working or whatever.
Right.
Everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty cool. And then, you know, the angel says, adds on to the prophecy of from Isaiah, and says she's going to bear a son, and you're going to name him Yeshua. You're going to name him Jesus. Now Isaiah said, well, you're going to name him going to be named Emmanuel. But now the angel says you're going to be named Yeshua, because Yeshua means salvation. And you see there that he adds he's going to save his people from their sins. So now, what a profound thing this is. The angel says, the Holy Spirit's conceived this baby that Mary has right now in her womb. It's going to be a boy. You're going to name him Yeshua, Jesus. His name means salvation, which wouldn't have been lost on Joseph, because he would have known what that meant.
Right.
And this baby, this boy baby, this man baby, is going to save his people from their sins. I mean, this is the meaning of salvation. And so it's then like the last verse of that says, Joseph obeys.
Right.
King Ahaz didn't obey.
Right.
King Ahaz was kind of a jerk, kind of a smart aleck. Joseph wakes up from his dream and says, oh, okay, now I get what's going on. So he takes Mary.
Right.
And, you know, goes on from there. So Joseph obeys where Ahaz didn't obey.
Right.
So the whole thing comes together in a circle to make this human family for baby Jesus of Nazareth to live with.
Exactly.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. You know, it's amazing in so many ways that, again, God entrusts Jesus to Mary and Joseph, but Joseph has to be reassured, as you're saying, as a man, as a husband, and as a father, even as a foster father, that he's going to develop a relationship with Jesus. He's going to love him and nurture him and be a father to him.
And be an influence to him and Jesus.
Yeah. And that's very important in the upbringing of a young person,
of
a young child.
Second break already.
Second break. Oh, we're getting close to Christmas.
This isn't Paul Wilmer.
No.
Oh, this is beautiful. Remember, check out GiveTheGraceMinistries.org. We'll be back in just a minute. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live. He appeared and the soul felt
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Beautiful song.
Yeah.
This is the last segment of the show before Christmas. So I thought maybe we'd say a few words about Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
You know, the little town of Bethlehem?
Oh, little town.
You know, lying still and
yeah.
stuff.
Okay. Are we going to sing a song?
Yeah. I mean, no, we're not going to sing this
oh.
song. I mean, you can sing it. I'm okay. not going to sing it. But, you know, we hear a lot about Bethlehem, mm-hmm. especially this time of year. There's yeah. songs about it.
Right.
People always say, well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you know, the stable yeah. in Bethlehem. And you know, it might be a good idea to tell you a little bit about Bethlehem.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And the first thing we have to know is that in Hebrew, it's Bethlehem, which means house of bread.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, the bread from heaven, he referred to himself as the bread come down from heaven,
right.
is born in a town, which means house of bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it means house of bread, and it's mentioned, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, because Rachel, Jacob's, well, second wife,
mm-hmm.
then favorite wife, died. And when she died, it says right. she was buried in Ephrathah outside of Bethlehem. And if you go there today, there's this very ugly wall because Bethlehem is now in the Palestinian territories.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through this border checkpoint and through this ugly wall to go to Bethlehem. And right nearby there's the tomb of Rachel.
Mm.
So she was in fact buried there. And then, you know, it's mentioned a few other times, but then in the book of Ruth, it becomes important because Boaz lives in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. Ruth and Naomi come back to Bethlehem and they are gleaning. If you take my Torah course, you know what that means. We're not going to talk about that now. But they're gleaning in these fields outside of Bethlehem. These are the very fields where we hear about the shepherds on Christmas night when Jesus is born, where their flocks are grazing in the fields. They're the same fields. Mm-hmm. And then Boaz and Ruth get married and become the great-grandparents of King David, the grandparents of Jesse. And they live in Bethlehem. And this is why it's a small city in Judah, because, of course, it's in the land of the tribe of Judah, the ruling tribe,
right,
with Jesus comes from. And even though Ruth is a Moabite, which means she's a Gentile, she becomes a very important person in the line of Jesus' ancestry,
right,
and becomes the great-grandmother of David and great, 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 great 14 times or 16 times grandmother of Jesus, and they live in Bethlehem. And then the prophet Micah, who's like a minor prophet,
but he says a lot.
I mean, he says a lot, but, you know, minor prophet. He actually says something really important about Bethlehem. We'll have Steve read that.
Okay, this is from Micah chapter 5, verse 1. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, least among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall take his place as shepherd by the strength of the Lord, by the majestic name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell securely. For now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth.
Little town of Bethlehem. I think it's a song. Anyway, little town of Bethlehem, not least among the clans of Judah, which means it was a little dumpy place. And somebody might have said, well, there's not really much going on in Bethlehem. It's a little dumpy place. But he says, no, it's not least, because from there is going to come a ruler who's going to shepherd my people, Israel. Mm. Which goes back again to the prophecy in 2 Samuel about David's descendant, the Messiah.
Right.
And, you know, his going forth from old, from everlasting.
Yeah. Whose origin is from old.
From everlasting, you know, which leads you to the point where Jesus says to those guys, before Abraham was, I am.
I am, yeah.
And they all went nuts because they knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
And these are... This is another prophecy. I mean, this is the main thing Micah is known for, that from Bethlehem is going to come Messiah. Mm-hmm. From Bethlehem is going to come the ruler. And from Bethlehem is going to come the shepherd. And it's interesting, too, that he uses the term there about the shepherd. You know, we've done some shows in the past about Jesus being the shepherd and the sheep fold and, you know, all those things. And he's going to shepherd... He's going to stand and feed his flock. He's going to shepherd his flock. Right. It's quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, you know, we're Gentiles. We're in the flock. You know, some Jews are in the flock. Soon more and more of them will be in the flock. But he is going to come from Bethlehem and he's going to shepherd this whole big flock. And it says to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. So he's going to be the true peace for the whole earth. He's going to be the true shalom for the whole earth, and it's going to be a shepherd, and he's going to come from Bethlehem. So Bethlehem, citizens of Bethlehem, this is not just some dopey little town, because out of you is going to come this great shepherd.
Yeah, it's, you know, as I was reading that, as you pointed out, whose origin is from old, from ancient times, that's what I was thinking of, was when Jesus told them, you know, before. And... He's that shoot from the stump of Jesse.
Yes, exactly.
As we talked about last week, the descendants of David were just virtually almost exhausted.
Woo, we just made it.
We just made it.
Wow, we only wish everyone a Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace Ministries.
And yeah, we wish you a Merry Christmas, and we will see you back here next week. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.